meant to matter, but it turns out that when you have the opportunity to kick your greatest rivals as many times as possible over 90 minutes, it really does matter to something. The Clasico without any titles on offer, but you know, you can kick each other, so that's all you need to do. Real Madrid 2, Barcelona 2 at the Camp Nou then. Welcome to Market English's Eye on La Liga podcast. I'm your host, Mark Mayo, here to just give you a rundown of the main action on Sunday night, just talk about what went on, and joining me to do that will be Ewan McTurk.
Hey Mark, how are we doing? What a game that was, considering it was supposed to be a decaffeinated Clásico, as everybody was saying.
Yeah, that was the phrase, wasn't it? Decaf Clásico. Well, if that was a decaf Clásico, then I think we need to take out the sugar-free, take out the gluten, and take out everything possible to distill that into something that's pretty tepid, because that was pretty much as fiery as I can imagine a Clásico being without a trophy being on the line. And you know, let's tackle this chronologically then, as it went through. 10 minutes in, and Luis Suarez gets the opening goal, and Marcelo kind of goes walkabout. At this point of the game, how are you feeling? Do you feel like this is opening the floodgates to Barcelona's victory, going 1-0 up after 10 minutes, or is this kind of just the calm before the storm almost?
Yeah, I think I was thinking the former, because how many times have we seen Barcelona put up really big classical wins, and when they went ahead so early, and when you knew Real Madrid maybe weren't going to, you know, get really stuck in and fight because, you know, they don't want to get injured ahead of this Champions League final, you thought, well, maybe this is it. Maybe Barcelona just little by little picked them off. But Real Madrid did get stuck in and did fight and did maybe even pick up an injury before the Champions League final, with Ronaldo sticking his boot in and getting that equaliser and doing himself a bit of damage in the process. And I didn't really think Real Madrid were going to maybe take it that seriously when they went one down, because as much as you want to win the Clásico against your rivals, as much as they'd love to end that unbeaten run, as Ramos was saying after the game, it's true that the big job for them is to win the Champions League for the third year in a row.
Yeah, it is ultimately a matter of pride in terms of stopping that unbeaten run. And no one will ever say to Real Madrid, oh, you silly club, you didn't manage to stop the unbeaten run. All the emphasis will be on Barcelona. So in that sense, it's kind of something out of nothing for Madrid in the history book sense of the game. But Cristiano Ronaldo is 15th minute in, a really lovely move actually. Played to Tony Kroos down the left flank, ball into Benzema, back across. Ronaldo gets stuck in with Piqué, gets there first. Zidane said after the game that Ronaldo, who went off at half-time, has a knock. They're going to test it out on Monday morning and just see what's happening. But he's assured Real Madrid fans that he's going to be there for the final. And, I mean, Barcelona haven't kept a clean sheet since mid-March. So we are kind of in a case of the end of the season. Barcelona's defence is the thing that's been affected, isn't it? Is Barcelona, on Sunday night in particular, obviously after the red card, we'll get onto that in a second, but their defence is, it's just as well they don't have a European final, isn't it? Because their defence is kind of wavering now.
Yeah, and not so much just the defence, but in particular, I think Samuel Umtiti. I think ever since all the rumours surfaced of his release clause and how there were several clubs willing to pay it and how he might be on his way out, ever since that happened, and even though he said all the right things about he's focused on Barcelona and the contracts will go on and there'll be negotiations, it seems to be affecting them. I don't know how that can be. I mean, you always think when a player gets on the pitch, surely they're not thinking about things like this. But something seems to have happened with Umtiti, because he was probably the best centre-back in all of La Liga in the first half of the season. Mm. And in the second half, that really hasn't been the case. He's still been good, but he hasn't been the exceptional centre-back that he was before Christmas. And yeah, I think that's been a big problem for Barcelona. And as you mentioned, not many clean sheets. And yeah, when Real Madrid scored that one, yeah, we had a game all of a sudden, and of course the red card just before half time made you really, I think if you're a Barcelona fan, you would be worried that was an unbeaten record about to be lost, because 10 men against Real Madrid, who had played really well for the rest of that first half, it wasn't looking good for them.
Yeah, I think those early goals had a massive effect on the game, didn't they? Because it showed to both teams that they could win, and that, you know, the other team wasn't necessarily on top of their game. And you know, after 44 minutes, Suarez and Ramos clashed. They both got booked. Suarez claiming there was an elbow from Ramos, kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other. You know, Messi gets booked sort of in the same furore. And then go up the other pitch and off the ball, Sergio Roberto and Marcelo. And I mean, it's not the the biggest punch on a man I've ever seen. I was watching the Bellew versus Hay fight on Saturday. There were some fair punches thrown in that Sergio Roberto is not going to be able to match. But it was a bit unnecessary, really, that he throws one in on Marcelo, and it's right in front of the referee. Hernandez is going to be subject to a lot of talk on this podcast in the next few moments. But for this one, the red card, it was just, he's just lost his head.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, of course, Marcelo makes a bit of a meal of it, but then, of course, you would, because it was a silly thing for Sergio Roberto to do, and it was very obvious. And it's one of these ones where if the referee sees it, then he's going to give a red card. So it's Marcelo's professional responsibility, I think, to make sure the referee knows what's happened there, and he was on top of it and gave a red card and got it right on that occasion. And it was strange because you hear all the time after red cards, he's not that kind of player. But for me, Sergio Roberto never really seemed to be that kind of player. But then he's done that this season, and he's also had that challenge where he went in onto, I think it was Andres Pereira, was almost up to his waist with a studs challenge in the Copa del Rey. And, yeah, and now there's been a couple of these ones where you start to wonder if Sergio Roberto needs to maybe cool it down a little bit. Now that he's basically a starter for Barcelona and the player they're going to miss if he gets suspensions.
Yeah, I wonder if it's part of the fact that he's a centre midfielder. Centre midfielders get stuck into it, but as a right back, maybe it's that extra kind of trying to make up for his perhaps a lack of defensive nous or something. He's just trying a bit too hard, throwing a couple of extra, you know, little niggles in every here and there just to see if that works, and you know, sort of not working. And at half-time, Sergio Ramos, after the game, complained at half-time. He said that Lionel Messi put pressure on the referee in the tunnel at half-time. I don't know if there were cameras, and I don't know if he would have made other decisions in the second half. However, it's important to leave these things on the pitch. You have to show respect. And coming out for the second half, the game continued. You'd usually think after the break that maybe things are going to simmer down a little bit more, but it really did continue, the sort of the fiery nature of the game. And Hernandez just continued to lose a grip on it. He continued to be able to pull out the necessary cards as often as he perhaps needed to. He continued to lose a sense of the obvious decisions as well. The Real Madrid fans will tell you every day of the week that there was a foul from Luis Suarez on Varane as Messi scored. They'll also claim that there was a foul on Marcelo in the penalty area with the score at 2-2. Barcelona fans, conversely, will tell you that Gareth Bale, who did eventually get booked in the 77th minute, shouldn't have been on the pitch by then at all anyway after a foul on Umtiti. This game just got away from the referee a little bit, and we don't want to talk about controversies, but it just piled up every now and again, didn't it?
Yeah, and Luis Suarez himself would tell you that there was a foul in the build-up, because that's what he said after the game. He said there was a little bit of a foul on Varane. And then he said, you know, it's not his job to stop if he thinks he's fouled a player. It's the referee's job. And I think everybody thought it was a foul, and it was a bit strange that it wasn't given. And yeah, well, if you were to tally it all up, which I'm sure over the next couple of days we'll all do, it probably finishes kind of even in the end. I mean, there was that Barcelona goal as well that they scored, which was ruled out for an offside, which wasn't. We could have put 3-1 up. There was, as you mentioned, the Bale challenge, which could have been a red. Sergio Ramos, when he was on the booking, had a few challenges that looked like he was desperate to get back in and get back off to Madrid and prepare for the Champions League final. So there were so many really quite poor decisions for and against both teams, and it's just a bit of a shame, really, that the biggest game of, some would say the biggest game in world football is being sort of tarred by so many, and really so many, about a dozen quite clear and quite significant wrong decisions. But yeah, it was maybe not the best night for Hernandez, but maybe we're lucky in the end that it was a draw, and nobody's going to be too angry about the refereeing decisions going against them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think the thing is with the refereeing in these sort of games is, because there are so many fouls, there are so many little incidents that kind of, as I say, build up and build up, he almost feels guilty to continue giving them and to, you know, continue flashing red cards out of the hope the players are going to stop. Because in reality, the players aren't going to stop making these challenges. They're still going to be looking for every little bit of foul that they can win as well. So it's a hard job for the referee, but it's it's difficult. If you're going to let things slide, you kind of have to let everything slide. And if you're going to pick and choose, that makes you look a bit silly. But yeah, the conversation will continue on and on with that. We'll obviously be covering that sort of stuff on Marker English as the players come out with their quotes on Sunday night as well. Let's finish this little chat then with a look at where this leaves both teams. Where does this leave Barcelona? Is this the season confirmation, the season ending draw, nice little performance in adversity, they'll consider it to end off a good season? Or is there still a little bit of doubt in those next three games they've got that they might actually lose this unbeaten record?
I think this was it. I think this was the one which has sort of confirmed that Barcelona are allowed to enjoy their end of season, as much as even many Barcelona fans will tell you that the debacle of Rome was so bad that they should just sit and wallow, even though they've won a double. This is a great achievement. You don't win many doubles. This is quite a common thing in the modern era, but still, a double is something to be celebrated. And they had their parade in midweek, but they couldn't really celebrate it last week when they clinched the title, because they didn't really want to celebrate on the pitch when Deportivo were getting relegated, in addition to the fact that it wasn't even their stadium. So this was a chance to celebrate it with their fans, and that's what they did after the game. They wandered around the pitch, they applauded the fans, there was speeches from the players. It was this was really their title party, and if they'd lost, then of course they wouldn't have done that. They wouldn't have celebrated after a Clásico. So I think this was one of the ones where, for Barcelona, avoiding defeat felt like not maybe a victory, but it was it allowed them to celebrate what they've achieved. And for Real Madrid, this was, it was a tough game. It was a test, and probably their last test before they have the Champions League final, because you can imagine that Zidane will start to rotate players, and even more so after that scare that they had with Ronaldo after the goal.
Yeah, I can't imagine Ronaldo will be featuring in a midweek when Real Madrid go to Sevilla on Wednesday, May the 9th. That's the same day that Barcelona goes host to Villarreal. At the Camp Nou. That's at 8 p.m. Spanish time, whereas Real Madrid kick off at 9:30. After that, Barcelona still got Real Sociedad and Levante to go. So not foregone conclusions. Two teams that are safe, their season's over. I mean, pretty much every team's season's over in the La Liga. Perhaps Real Sociedad will fancy themselves for a Europa League charge on the last day of the season. Real Madrid, though, they do have this slight sniff at getting second place. I say slight sniff. They've got a game in hand over Atletico, who lost on Sunday, 3 points behind and with better goal difference. So going to Sevilla won't be easy. Then they've got a Celta Vigo and round off their season against Villarreal away from home. So for Real Madrid, do you think that they will just continue to rest as many players as possible, or are they actually going to take the league a bit seriously between now and the Champions League final?
I don't really think they'll care about the league, and to be honest, I don't think Atletico do at this stage either. We saw that today with the amount of rotation Simeone made for their defeat against Espanyol. So it's a race for second, but nobody really cares if they get second. So, but in a way, that maybe makes it all the more interesting. Atletico have that slight advantage, and next week they go to Getafe, which are one of the few teams that do still have something to play for, because they're in that Europa League race. So that'll be the weekend before the Europa League final. You can imagine them resting some players there. Taffy's not an easy place to go. They can maybe drop some points there. But so could Real Madrid. They've got Sevilla, Villarreal, a couple of tricky fixtures. So maybe it's going to be a case of who doesn't throw it away the most in this race for second. And this sort of, I don't know, maybe it's a backwards race of who doesn't run too much in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's kind of like an egg and spoon race, isn't it? Don't run too fast, because then you'll break things that are much more important than you realise at this stage of the season. So that will wrap up our Clásico talk. We will be back next week with a look towards the final day of La Liga, and we'll have a little look across Spanish football as well next week. Just have a look at what is actually to play for in the top couple divisions in Spain, to give an eye on what might be happening next season in La Liga, in particular in terms of promotion from Segunda, because next week, if we're looking at what's to play for, it's pretty much only Europa League is the stuff to play for in La Liga. So we'll have a bit more of a diverse show next week. Then we'll be back week after that with the sort of La Liga season review and a look towards the European finals that Atletico and Real are involved in. So until then, thank you very much for joining us, and thank you, Ewan, for popping on tonight as we talk into Monday morning now.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on to discuss the Clásico.
Absolutely, and until the next Clásico, we'll have to hold this one up as an example of why Spanish football is brilliant and occasionally just a little bit controversial. That's fine, just blame the referees. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.